Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so wonderful to be back here at Booms Creek. This is one of our most favorite spots to come, and I'm really, really thrilled to be here today. Before Barbara goes up to the booth, I wanted her to stay down here so y'all can say hello to her. She's going to go up in the booth and run the PowerPoints. What I wanted to do today is, during the Sunday school hour, and just show you the work that you are supporting. First of all, I want to say congratulations, Tennessee Vols. You know, I'm a strong LSU fan, and because I was born and raised down in Louisiana, been a Louisiana LSU fan all my life. And we had the same thing happen to us last week that you had to happen to you this week, when we actually caught the pass in the end zone on the last play of the game. However, ours was called back because we only had 1 second left to run the play. But you had 4 seconds. Four seconds left. And I tell you, that was one of the most exciting finishes I've ever seen in my life. And, of course, I love Tennessee, and I live in Tennessee, and I am a Tennessee fan. And, of course, Sherry, you remember, some of you may have known Sherry Deacons, John David's, aunt?
Aunt.
Yeah, I was married to her, and I met her. We were both journeymen back to what they call the journeyman program. I met her over in Bristol, Tennessee, in missionary boot camp. We spent the whole summer there, and then she went to Nigeria, and God called me to go to Vietnam, and I served there during the war as a missionary, not a soldier. And then when we came back to the States, we got married, and was happily married 23 years, 3 kids, and went to Brazil, and while there, we discovered that she had a disease called scleroderma. If it's on the outside, you know, it'll turn your skin as hard as leather, but if it's on the inside, it turns all your organs hard as rock. And one day, she just unexpectedly to everybody, she just suddenly fainted, and she died there in Brazil. And we brought her body back, and buried her right over here in the grave, in the grave cemetery. I'll go by and visit her gravesite today. God, in his infinite sovereignty and wisdom, sent a beautiful young, soul-winning, on-fire missionary to Brazil named Barbara from Texas. She and Sherry were good friends, and we all lived there together. And after a while, the Lord just spoke to me and said, you know, she's the one I want you to marry next. So I went over to her house one night, knocked on the door, and said, Barbara, not now, but someday I'm going to marry you. And she fainted. But thank God she didn't die. And we've been married now 21 wonderful years.
Amen.
And these 21 years have been so exciting because we were praying together today for this service, of course. We were just thanking God for his incredible grace. I mean, only by the grace of God would something like that occur. And your church, when Brother Bud Pate was pastoring here, I believe he was pastor, adopted us as missionaries. And y'all have been supporting us, and you've adopted us ever since, more than 25, 30 years. And so, as a result of that, we love to come here. Of course, I preached a revival here about 2 years ago, or whatever. And it's just 1 week. And one of my favorite places to come is right here at Booms Creek. We don't make it every year, but I like to try to get here every other year. And kind of give you all updates. We send you monthly reports every month about what's going on in the ministry. We just want to say, by coming here, thank you for your prayers and your love that you've shown us and for the support that you give us. I was with the IMB 26 long years. And when you're with the Foreign Mission Board at IMB, you go overseas, you live there for, you know, years on end. And at this stage of my life, I felt like I needed to retire from the IMB so I could spend about half my life here in America, traveling around churches to support us. I teach at Union University in January. I'll be teaching a class on Islam, and how to share your faith with Muslims. I know a lot about that religion because I've studied the Quran and so forth for hundreds of hours. And I can answer a lot of your questions about that if you wanted to. But so anyway, then we do a lot of teaching and training, seminars, traveling, preaching here in America. And then we are able to go out and spend time on the foreign mission field. We're working in about 11 countries now, and the support that you give goes directly, I mean 100%, into the work. We're sponsored by Union Baptist University, and they're kind of like our overall sponsors, and so we are accountable to them, and we send all our receipts, everything, to them. Of course, that has to be done in a very, very very well done way, because Union University, you know, they're responsible to the IRS, and of course, so all the bookkeeping, everything is highly done properly. Barbara spends many hours working on that part, and so we're sponsored by them, and but we headquartered out of Memphis. We're members of Bellevue Baptist Church. You probably know of that. Dr. Eamon Rogers was a pastor. He was a good friend of mine. And whenever I was overseas, I'd come back. He'd take me out to dinner. And, man, we'd just sit and talk. And he was a great man of God. Now the president of the Southern Baptist Convention is Dr. Steve Gaines, and he is our pastor. And he really strongly believes in our ministry, supports us as well. I wanted to just kind of give you an overview. Barbara and I just got back from India, and so our body clock, I mean, we just got back this week, so our body clock is 10 and a half hours away from America. So if I fall asleep while I'm speaking here today, you'll know why. But let me just kind of give you a little overview of what our ministry is all about. When we were in Brazil, we were in a state called Minas Gerais. Minas means mines, and Gerais means general. And this is where they mine all those beautiful Brazilian amethyst and emeralds and all that stuff in our state. And the state is about the same size as the state of Texas, which makes it a huge place. When I got there in 1982, we only had, first of all, I had to go to language school. I didn't learn a whole lot of Portuguese. They speak Portuguese there. When I got out of language school, I could barely say one sentence correctly. But so I had a hard time. But eventually, the Lord gave me the, you know, I got where I could preach and teach and talk and all that stuff. But so here's what happened. We had about 180 preachers, pastors. Most of them were bivocational. And we needed to start about 1,000 churches, Baptist churches. So here's the question. How do you do that with 180 preachers? And the answer is, you don't. It's totally impossible. So God just showed me, through prayer and everything, the real key to world evangelism is not the preachers, anyway. It's the lay people in the pew. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Richard. The real key to world evangelism is the lay people. And I got to looking at this, and we've got hundreds and hundreds of people coming to church, and right down to the next town, or the village, or the neighborhood or whatever, we need a church. And our people coming to church and they're going home watching ball games and going through life. I said, why don't we mobilize them, give them a vision? We need to plant churches. We don't have enough preachers. We don't have any money to hire out church planters. So why don't we utilize people like yourself? School teachers, doctors, lawyers, electricians, plumbers, housewives, and train them on Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon to go down to the next area and just start a church. as a layperson. So here's the big question. How do you take a person who has a Sunday school knowledge of the Bible, never been to seminary, never been to college even, maybe just not even graduated from high school, and they get on a bus and they have no money, maybe got a few Bible studies in the Bible, and they get off the bus, and most churches get started with a group of Christians already out there, and they start worship service. But we don't even have that. So how would you teach a lay person who maybe has a 10th grade education, has no money, to go to another area and not know one person? And he steps off the bus, and his job as a lay person now, he's a plumber, is to plant a new church over there. How would you teach that person to do that? Well, that's the question the Lord led me to answer. And so I wrote the answer out and began training. Now, the first time around, I had 15 preachers in my group. I think two of them quit. But the old style of mission work was the missionary would go to the field, he'd plant one church and pastor. Come home, furlough, go back the next year, plant a church and pastor. But that wasn't going to get the job done. So what I did was I took these 15 guys, two of them quit. But instead of me going out and planting one church, we started 13. The next time, that's when we brought all the laity in, and we had 40 in our group, and we started 67 new Baptist congregations and churches. And then we just kept doing that, just kept doing it over and over and over again. And eventually, we trained over 5,000 leaders in our state and started over 750 Baptist congregations and churches, just in our state alone. Well, what happened was the Brazilian Home Mission Board, which is the largest mission board in the world outside America, asked me and Barbara if we would take this training and just do it all over the whole nation. Now, Brazil is a big place. It's as big as America, except Alaska. So Barbara and I just spent every day of our life traveling, teaching, training. I preached, we mobilized churches, we packed out. We'd have these spiritual awakening services, and then we would train them how to go plant churches. So we trained about another 20,000 Brazilians all over the whole country. So then around 2000, the IMB came to me and Barbara and said, would y'all leave Brazil and do this all over the world? And I didn't want to leave Brazil. I love Brazil. I mean, literally love myself. So I didn't give them an answer. And about 3 months later, the vice president came down there and talked to us again. So we prayed about it, and we really felt like, well, this is what we should do. So, but if we're going to be traveling all the time, you know, we had a bed, so we had a few things. So we packed them up, shipped them to Texas, and put everything we had in a barn. And we traveled for 5 years, and we had nothing but a suitcase and a computer and a backpack and a laptop computer. And we went from one country to the next, the next, the next, the next, the next, the next. I mean, we hardly ever stopped. I mean, we were training, traveling, training, traveling, training, traveling, traveling, training. All over the world. I mean, in Africa, Asia, Europe, South America, Central America, Caribbean. I mean, it was just nonstop. Of course, our bodies were... I didn't know where I was at that. And one day it'd be 20 degrees below zero in Kazakhstan, Asia. And the next day, the next week, we were in Cambodia, and it'd be 100 degrees above zero. I mean, it was a rough life, to be honest about it. But we decided that we would retire from the IMB and just do this so we could spend some time in the United States. We got 10 grandkids. We travel all the time. And so we now have our own mission called Pioneer Missions, as you know, and your support goes to Union University for our ministry. And 100%, every dollar you give goes to the work, because Union takes nothing away for administrative purposes. And so 100% of all the donations to us is actually applied into the field. This is the Pioneer Evangelism Manual, the training manual that we use. It was published by the Brazilian Mission Board. It was all in Portuguese at first, and my daughter translated it back to English, Christian. And so now it's in many languages all over the world. We were just in India last week, and they speak Bengali out there. All this is in Bengali, in Africa, and it's in Swahili, it's in Portuguese, it's Spanish, it's in French. Just name it. I mean, this book is probably about 60-something languages all over the world. Thousands and thousands of copies have been produced, and we've been training folks since year 2000. And we're just continuing to do that. So one of the reasons, one of the things I want to do today is just say thank y'all. We really do love you, and we appreciate you so much. Pioneer Evangelism is based around the principle of Christ. I tell missionaries all the time, you know, many missionaries, they model their ministry after the Apostle Paul. But when I got to Brazil, I got to thinking about that, and I said, you know, I don't need to model my ministry after Paul. I need to model it after the greatest missionary that ever lived. And who would that be? Jesus. And so in this book, you can look at it. There are three things. Jesus had two ministries. He had a public ministry where he preached, he taught, he healed. And every pastor in the world I know will do that. I don't know any preacher that doesn't preach, teach, preach, or sit. But Jesus had a second ministry, and it was the second one that changed the world, not the first one. And you're here today because of the second.
Amen.
And very, 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 very few pastors that I know anywhere in the whole world will do the second. But Jesus did it, and he told us to do it, but we ignored it. And that's what we call in this book, the private ministry of Jesus. And in his private ministry, he did three things. The first thing he did was he formed a team. How many did he have on his team?
12.
And so what we challenge pastors to do all over the world, go back to your church and form a team of 12 disciples, just like Jesus. And you're going to meet with them every week, apart from all the other activities in your church. The second thing he did was he trained the team. And this book teaches you how to train your team. As God made me to develop all this, I got to thinking, what will a layperson need to know to go plant a church and then lead that church? He has to know at least six things. Now, he needs to know more than that, but he's got to know these six. I'm not going to go into it right now. But what we do in Pioneer Evangelism is we train them in these six things really deep. So when they get through this training, they know how, step by step, to start a church. I mean, they can go do it. And they can lead it. And then the third thing Jesus did was he sent them out. So we have a little gestures we use. Jesus formed the team, he trained the team, and he sent them out. And so that's what we're training them. We're training them in depth of how to go back to your churches and form teams and train those teams and send them out to win lost souls and start more churches. Now, I'm going to just go through these PowerPoints with you, and we're going to show you not all. I mean, this is just a surface of what you're supporting. Okay, Barbara? Go ahead. And we start out here. This is a close one, Honduras. This is an easy one because you can get there in one day. And this is our leader. His name is Gustavo there in the nation of Honduras. And in February of next year, we're bringing, they have 18 districts in Honduras, and we're bringing in key pastors from all 18 districts, and we're going to train all of them in this. And guess what that's going to do? Once you do that, then they're going to say, would you come to my district? It'll be like counties, okay? We take key pastors in this county and every county in the state of Tennessee. That's exactly what this will be. And we train them, then they're going to all go home and say, look, come to my county and train everybody there. So that's what's going to happen here. And then there's a little church that was started to result up in the mountains. And this is the Sunday that we were there, just packed out. It's a little church, you know. And we take groups with us on mission trips. Here's a men's leadership conference. These pastors came in from Nicaragua and Honduras. And a friend of ours from Arkansas taught them the book of 1 John. the women, they just desperately need teaching. I mean, women all over the world are just left behind, and we need to train them. And then let's go to East Africa. Before I show you the pictures there, I want you to picture this. I want you to look at this book right here. And let's think of that book as being Lake Victoria, second largest lake in the whole world. Around that lake are five nations. Five nations. On the bottom is Tanzania. To the right is Kenya. On the top is Uganda. To the left is Rwanda. And then Burundi. And I call it the biggest fishing hole in the whole world, because there are so many people coming to Christ. Let's go back to Rwanda. And I want to explain all that. This is our leader. His name is Justin, and his wife is Anne. They're such a beautiful couple. Let me tell you quickly about him. Mecca. He was a pastor, and he started winning some Catholics to the Lord. And I don't usually say that, but I don't usually reveal what church they were. I shouldn't have done that, I guess. But anyway, but the local priests, they have a lot of power. So they went to the police and had him arrested and put him in prison. And he lost his church and took his property and building away and all that. So he came out and he had, I think, 11 people left in his church. Everybody left. And about that time, Barbara and I showed up in his country and we did this training. And as a result, he asked us if we'd come over to his little house. And he had a little bitty house, a little dark house, no hardly any lights in there. We had supper with him. And he said, I'm going to do what you said to me. I'm going to do this. So he goes back to his 11 people. Okay, go to the next one. And we had that Pioneer Evangelism training. Began in 2010. And then he started out, and his 11 people said, I don't want to do that. So they left. He didn't have anybody. He said, I'm going to have to start all over. And so as a result, he won a guy to Christ, and they started training them, and they started winning people to the Lord, and they started baptizing believers. He has no money. He can't build any buildings. Can't buy any land. So he said, you know, I'm going to just do what they did in the book of Acts. So he started churches in the houses, and there they are. And now he has over 200 house churches. He has churches in every single district or county in the entire nation. And we started 28 Bible schools. And one of the big problems they got there is dirty water. I mean, we drink water, we don't even think about it. We go up to the sink and drink it. They can't do that. I mean, you drink water out of that, you're going to get sick. And so we started a ministry, and y'all have participated, and y'all donated to that, a water filter program where we have a water, well, we got a little water filter factory out there now. So they drip, so these are the ladies in the church that break up the locks, and let's keep moving really fast. And we deliver them out to the families that are poor, and they're not believers. They're Muslims, they're pagans, they're whatever. And there they are. You see the water filters? And as a result, they asked them if they'd like to have a Bible study. We follow up with evangelists with Bible studies, and many of them come to know the Lord. Look at that. We've given away 250 filters. He started 275 house churches. And since 2010, I mean, that's 6 years ago, he started with zero, and he started doing what we trained him to do. And today, he has now over 5,000 baptized believers. And I'm telling you, we're just getting started. Next, you know, when I come back, we come back here in a couple of years, it could be up to 7,000 or 10,000. I mean, this thing is really growing. I could also tell you about Burundi. I could tell you about Uganda. I could tell you about Kenya. All these countries, but we don't have the time. But this is one that I really want to focus on. Barbara and I were in Tanzania when we were the IMD in 2003. There was a couple there named Charles and Sherry Orange. They were about ready to retire, and they asked us if we would come there and do the Pioneer Evangelism training. We did. And we left. 3 years later, I get an email from a young guy that was my interpreter. He's a layman. His name is Sylvanus Peter. He said, "You know what you taught us works? Would you come back and teach us again?" He says, "We have 20 districts. I mean, we're talking about 20 counties in our association." So we said, "Okay, we'll do that." So we went back in 2006. And we started doing pioneer evangelism. We send them out. When they go out into the homes, what we teach them to do is to go to the homes of non-Christians. And I teach all over the world, we've got it backwards in our evangelism program. Most of us in our churches, here's our evangelism program. We go out into the world and we invite people to come to church. And I challenge them. I say, "Okay, show me one verse in the Bible. There's one where God tells a non-Christian to go to church." It never says that. It always tells a Christian to do what? To go to a non-Christian every time. So what we do is we train them, how do you find receptive people? Now, I'm not going to get into all that right here, but we teach them how to do that. And then we start Bible studies called the Good News Studies. And these studies are story lessons. They teach the story of Jesus from the book of Matthew, from his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. So you got two tiers. You got the life of Jesus story, and the second tier is we teach them how to become a real, true Christian. Now, one thing different that we do overseas that we do not do here, and let me explain this. And this is why we use these studies. If I say the word God, what does that mean to you? Well, you're going to be thinking of Jehovah, the God of the Bible, right? But say that same word to a Muslim. He's thinking about Allah. And let me just declare something. I know a lot about Islam. And Allah and the God of the Bible, I don't care what they're saying on television, is not the same God.
Amen.
Allah is Satan. I mean, Allah is Satan pretending to be God. And I can prove that. Muhammad was the Antichrist. Because he preached that Jesus Christ did not die on a cross and was not raised from the dead. And the Quran teaches that there's no such thing as a Trinity. So we know, and the Bible teaches, that if you don't claim Christ, the deity of Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, you're the Antichrist. So what I'm saying is, when you take a person from that background, and we just came from India, and there's 200 million gods out there, and you just say the word God, what God are you talking about? You understand? So what we do not do is try to get them converted on the first visit. And the reason is, you can syncretize, if you're not careful, their old religion into the Christian faith, and now you don't have a real conversion. You've got religion, but no relationship. Does that make sense? So while we do these good news studies, is we teach them gradually what it means to follow Jesus. Because they've got to know who Jesus is, first of all. And what it means to give your life to Him as the Lord of your life, as well as your Savior. So we send them out. All that, we go into all of that in this training. All right? And then, look at that. Since 2007, our Baptist churches in the Lake Zone of northern Tanzania have baptized over 32,000 converts. Amen?
Amen.
And you're a part of that. I'm telling you right now, you're a part of every single one of them because you support this ministry. Alright? Then they start churches under trees. And we got to thinking about this. We said, you know, these old guys are going to die off, Brother Gary. We're going to die off. Who's going to pastor all these new churches? They had no Bible school. They had no training in these districts. So God just said, you know, if you do not start Bible schools for these young men and women, they're not going to have any leaders. So we know what we did? We started 20 Bible schools. We've got a Bible school in every district. And we have pastors go there. We do not teach in the Bible schools. We teach the teachers who teach there. That make sense? We don't have time to go and teach. All right. So we teach the teachers. And then we have teams that go down to America and they do these leadership training conferences. Look at that. They just sit on these little hard benches and sit on the ground. I mean, they don't have air conditioning. They don't have nothing. I mean, they don't even have a cushion on the pew. They just sit there with no back. And go ahead. And we just go into the schools. You can preach in the schools out there. Barbara's been there many times. 3,000 kids in a week. Muslims, pagans, everything in the world you can imagine. Here at the gospel, we had a reading glass program. We give away reading glasses. And so we have these Tanzania. Go ahead. Bible schools done. God showed us. Let me ask you this. How many people do you know that would walk from a village to a church, sleep on the floor all week, sleep on a hard bench all week, or 2 weeks, and study, and there's no chairs, you get bit by mosquitoes, you sleep on the ground? How many would do that to prepare for the ministry, and then when you graduate, you're not going to have a job in terms of pay, because there ain't no minister will get paid. So how are you going to do that? And so God just showed us, laid on our hearts, you need to be a leader. You need to build some Bible school. The dorm, so they can have a place to sleep. They can have a chair to sit in. So we had no money, but we just said we're going to do it. We put out on the newsletter, we're going to build these things. And we don't, as you know, many of you get our little updates and stuff. We don't beg for money. We don't do any of that. We just report what's going on. And you know what happened? God put in the hearts of people to donate toward building these Bible schools. And before this year is over, we will have built our 16th Bible school out there.
Amen.
Look at that. They're going to have they got men's dorms, women's dorms, classrooms, everything. It is just reviving our Baptist work out there that was literally dying. I can tell you right now, it was literally dying. So we're just seeing God really work. We bring in the teachers, we train them. These are the pastors in one of our Bible schools studying about the Holy Spirit. And these are the principals of the schools. We like to bring them in, train them in a book of the Bible or a topic. And then they go back and they teach the students, teach pastors. And here are the totals right here. We have over 100 Bible schools now in East Africa. Of 1,449 students. That's not just Tanzania, but that's also in Kenya, Uganda, and Rwanda. The next thing, and take a few minutes, and then we'll be finished up, is India. This is where Barbara and I were. We just got back Tuesday, and there's a one little place up in India. It's the seventh largest unreached people group in the world. It's called the Bengali people, and we've been going there 13 years. And they have farmers. I mean, literally farmers. And we've been training these farmers to go out and plant churches in these Hindu villages. Now, when you go into a Hindu village, you know what you're going to see? An idol. Literally. And so there are 30,000 villages with no church. Can you imagine that? 30,000. I don't even know if Tennessee's got 30,000 towns in the whole state. I don't even know. But just imagine if you had 30,000 towns here in the state with no church of any kind. I mean, it ain't Catholic, it ain't Protestant, it's nothing. So you can see the big challenge we got. And we just got back and we're seeing God do some great things there. We now have seven, counting our Baptists plus some other independent groups that we've been training. We're now over 700 churches started. And we're seeing the Lord really work. Is that the last one? Okay, she said that's the last one. One great thing has happened. A really breakthrough in India is the leader that our leader in India, his name is Anjan. He was just elected as the president of the Baptist Convention of Bengal. And I'll be honest with you, for the last 20 years, that convention was run by liberals. So he had nothing to do with it. But evidently, a lot of the pastors wanted to change. So they asked Anjan if he would become the president, and he did. He let all these liberal guys go. He has replaced them with Bible-believing, soul-winning, on-fire pastors and leaders. And now they said, he wrote me, and he said, I want you and Barbara, I want y'all to train every Baptist pastor in our state, in the Western Gulf. And the executive secretary came to the meeting we were in this past week, sit there, and man, he's just so happy. He says, man, we want to train everybody in this pioneer evangelism strategy so we can form teams, train teams, and send them out. So we've seen a great new day there that's coming down the pipe. I could tell you many more things. We're in Paraguay. We're in Brazil. We're going to go to Peru next year. We're going to start there. And so you can see we're just always moving on the road. We just got back teaching my book on Islam, Share Your Faith with Muslims. This is a new one. The Romanian Pentecostal denomination asked me and Barbara to go and teach them how to reach Muslims in Europe. So we went there in Spain. The whole crowd was Pentecostal. I said, man, you want to learn Baptist theology? I'll be happy to teach them. So and then we went to the Romanian mission school up in Romania and taught them for a week. And then we went to Rome and we taught there on Islamic evangelism. How do you win these Muslims to the Lord? So that's what we just recently been doing, fasting and all. All right. Thank you all. Anybody got a question? I'll stop. Anybody got? Please raise your hand if you got any questions. Yes, sir.
Are a lot of the areas you go to safe for you to travel there?
That's a good question. And I think so, but in today's world, I don't know if there are any things. You just get on an airplane and spray, and, you know, we're on those. Increase your prayer life airlines. But, you know, we were coming through Paris. The very same day that they had the terrorist bombing just north of us in Brussels at the Delta County. I mean, you know, here's my guideline. I don't ever do anything stupid. But we were down in Tanzania, and we passed through this village where the Muslims had just cut the head off and sent their God pastor. And so, anybody says that religion is a religion of peace is either a fool, he's ignorant, or he's lying. Yeah. So I can show you in the Quran over and over and over, over 100 times where Muhammad said to kill the Christians and Jews. And jihad is a core value of a religion. I don't know if any religion in the world has jihad in it except that. Anyway, so we have to really be careful. And when we go to India, we have to really be double careful. And so they have all our trainings in one spot, and it costs more, but it's secure. And of course, they send the government send investigators out there wanting to know what's going on. But he never told them that me and Barbara were there, which is good. So we kind of work that way. We're under the blood of Christ, and we're going where we go because we feel led, and we really do appreciate your prayers, because I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the praying people that know us, support us, and all, you know, who knows? We would need that prayer protection. Amen. All right, I think the time is up. I want to thank Brother Terry. Where's Brother Terry? Oh, there you are. Hey, I appreciate you. He wrote me some time ago about coming up here, and man, my schedule was so full, and then finally we got it worked out. For it's supposed to be next week, but I needed to come this week, so they arranged everything. I appreciate you, Brother Terry, for remembering us to come back. Like I said, we like to come back every year, but every other year anyway, and just say thank you and show you the work, update you. Okay, Pastor.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's just simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins, save my soul, so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on the website, BoonesCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.